All right, for most of you, I don't think a lot of, or some of the ethno staff needs introduction, but Dave is one of the members of our church as well, and so Dave and Kevin are with Ethnos, but I'm going to let call Dave right up and just let him introduce his staff, and Kevin as well is coming, and so just to introduce some of the ethno staff that work in and around here and what the Lord is doing in their hearts and lives, and so Lord bless you guys as you serve this morning.
Thank you, Gary. Well, it's our privilege to be here this morning with you to share what God is doing and what you're partnering with. And we have a slideshow that we want to share with you, and hopefully this is going to work. And you know, technology, it works when you want it, when you don't want it to. But we're the church engagement team.
Okay. Our mandate is to equip Aboriginal and Canadian churches to thrive, mature, and multiply. Our evangelism disciple-making strategy is based on proven church-planting disciple-making strategy from overseas.
Our disciple-making series is called Establish. It all began in early 2016 with Norm McCollum and myself and Judy. This was a shared vision that Norm had for his people to mature and thrive in Christ.
Already in that year, there was so much interest in the Aboriginal church and Canadian church that God added Kevin Gertson, that's me, Bill Jansen, and Conrad Flett to the team. This was followed by Craig and Leilani Bowman in 2017, and Brent and Jody Risto and Dale Weeb in 2018. All of this is God's doing, and it's for His glory.
From our first weekly teaching in North Battleford and weekend teaching in Big River, God has opened the doors for more concentrated, long-term equipping in northwestern Saskatchewan and here at Ozer Mission Chapel.
Now, you folks know the OMC story with Establish, so this morning we'll share about what God is currently doing in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Through 2017, Norm, Dave, and Craig made multiple trips to the north, to the Buffalo Narrows area, visiting northern communities and the scattered believers in between. They met with Aboriginal believers, listening to their stories, praying with them, and hearing over and over again their feeling of isolation, alone, and desiring fellowship and solid Bible teaching.
So Norm shared the vision for a unity gathering. And on November 18th, 2017, believers from Lalosh, Turner Lake, Buffalo Narrows, Beauval, and Meadow Lake came together to pray and worship and share testimonies. It was a wonderful time of fellowship and encouragement. And even Pastor Gary was there at that event.
I had the opportunity to share about the foundational Bible teaching, and the group decided right there on the spot that this is what they wanted, demanding that we begin January 13th. So starting in January 18th and through to the end of May, Dave, Craig, and Norm, myself, Craig, and Norm, we traveled every other weekend to Buffalo Narrows to teach a diverse group of believers, Aboriginal, Métis, White, Calvinistic, Charismatic, and Conservative.
So each Saturday was filled with 6 hours of worship and prayer, fellowship and food, and solid Bible teaching. Norm would facilitate the group, and local leaders packed into And Dave and Craig led the Bible teaching.
First there was 30, then there was 40. It was incredible as all winter long, 20 of them stayed faithful right through to the end, completing the first level.
Four of their leaders were equipped to teach the summer of 2018, and they were reteaching the Established 101 in Buffalo Narrows and in Lalosh right now. And Dave continues to travel each other weekend to meet the group for fellowship, teacher coaching, and mentoring.
Through 2018, Indigenous churches in Pine House and Prince Albert also requested the teaching. And so Brent Ristow, he's not here this morning, his travels every weekend to be teaching in Pine House.
So in the fall of 2017, Craig and Leilani Bauman were invited by Conrad Flett and Pastor Kirby James to start attending New Life Fellowship in an Indigenous church in PA, and are now involved in multiple levels of leadership. And in this past fall, they started teaching Establish. All told, we, as a team, going four different directions, are traveling around 4,000 kilometers each month to teach.
So God is stirring within His church simply through word of mouth and the impact of foundational Bible teaching, and so we've had more requests and to teach and to equip.
To facilitate the interest, we held two teacher training events this past summer, and we will be conducting a weekend version this winter. God is going forward.
So this is what you're supporting as you stand behind us in prayer, encouragement, and your financial support. And a number of you, as you see, are coming to begin helping to volunteer, putting together publications that are going out.
This ministry is not simply about doing something for the church. We want to partner together with churches, building authentic long-term relationships to see the churches across Canada thrive, mature, and multiply.
So we need your prayer that God would continue to provide people and resources and make more disciples. And I think my microphone just died. So just praying that God would stand with us and pray for us as we continue to go. And Kevin and I got back last night at 12:30. We were in Manitoba teaching, a full day of teaching, just blessing a Canadian church. And what a thrill to invest in the churches in Christ's bride, to see it go forward and to thrive and to continue to multiply. And from these humble beginnings, God is building his church, and we have the privilege of walking alongside of them. Now, this ministry is much bigger than just myself, and we've shared a number of different names. And so this morning, I've asked Conrad Blatt to come and share with us. He's going to sing us. He wants to sing for us this morning and share. Conrad also has the ministry of hosting Tribal Trails. And so on the back table is a number of information that's on the back table that you can avail yourself of, prayer cards and information there of all of us. And so you can help yourself to all of that and just pray that God would continue to bless and mature what he's doing here. Thank you.
Just kidding. When I was coming out of the house in PA, I might as well grab it. There. A quick... I'm only here for about eight more minutes. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11 it says, "And he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ." Well, that's our job. I've been a missionary with Northern Canada Evangelical Mission for the past 20 years, and I've served with them through, part of it is through Tribal Trails, which has been good. It's been 20 years doing that in ministry, but there's also other things that I do, visiting other churches, and I'm also a president of the Native Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, which I am a part of, growing up in that conference as my mother church. And so there's 17 churches across Canada that I look after. So I was brought up in the Garden Hill, Manitoba, which is an isolated reserve in Manitoba. And that's where I grew up in the church, and my native elders, they taught me. They went to Bible school, all of them, and they came back, and I got to know the Lord, and they taught me. As I went to Bible school, they told me, they prepared me to go to Bible school. As they said, "You're going to have some trouble because they're different. The way they think is different than the way we think." Okay. So, you learn the Bible. Be a little bit more forgiving and more gracious, because you're not there to change them. You're not there for yourself. You're there to learn God. And so I did. And I did have some struggles. Really, yeah. There's this, as I work in the field, I work with a lot of Mennonites. They taught me Voshitit. whatever. I said that at a Mennonite conference once. I was late. I was like, I couldn't find the church because everything was written in German. And I was about an hour and a half, you know, like they told me it's sin to be late. So I was like, okay. And I arrived there, and So I was half hour late already. And I just rest me up there and I said, "Vush eat it." Everybody laughed. Everybody started responding back. I said, "It's okay, I've been converted." That was about 15 years ago. They still pray for me. It's amazing. They never forget me. But as I work in the field, because of there's this thing I come across all the time. Now I can't read it. Now I can't see it. Maybe I'm being looked at. I'm feeling a little, everybody's watching me. Let's see if I could say it right. Paternalism. It's an action limiting a person's or a group's ability or autonomy, which is intended to promote their own good. You know, I see a lot of that. You know, because I come from a reserve, and I know how my people think. And we don't do 3 points. We talk in stories. And it's really hard for us to communicate. And so we have to change. We have to change the way we think. Which is okay, we're used to it. But when it comes to spreading the gospel and making it clear to our people, well, I like it. I love it. You know, I get asked a lot to go come and share in places. And they say, "I've never heard it that way." Well, I just, you know, it's just because I know the word. I know how to communicate to my people. You know, and one of the things that I know we need is good Christian material, which there's none. You know, where they're always translating whatever, and it's not meant for our people. It's really meant for the Canadian church or people, all of it. And so I was really glad when I met David. When he shared about that, well, I know about that from Bible school too. I heard the missionaries from, you know, what they did over there, and I longed for that too. You know, and it was such a privilege to meet him and to get my hands on the material. I said, I need to get my hands on that material. Can we sit down and go through it? I need to see it. And as we started to work, you know, we did, even though that he knows a little bit about being, there's still that in him, the paternalistic in him. So we argued a lot. Which is okay, you know, because we needed to sharpen our minds in the Word of God for the better. And so, anyways, this is where we're at. God bless you.
Good morning, everybody. I thought you're all having a snooze. And no, I don't have one of those yet, okay? It may be coming. But I'm grateful to be here today. I'm glad to see new faces, old faces, but you're all pretty to me. I thank my wife, my beautiful wife. We got married in September, and we decided or prayed about going back to BC for a few months. But I tell you, when I sat in Kamloops and I looked out the window and all I could see was the mountains, I said, Lord, I want to see some flat land. And over a week ago, he gave me all I wanted to see. It's good to be back. But I want to thank you. I want to thank you very much. I'm very humbled. I'm blessed to be here today to talk about what God is doing. It's not about me, not about Dave. It's about the Lord we serve, God Almighty. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I'm going north tomorrow to La Loche and Turner. When I go north, I get excited because God's word is with me and it's within me. So I want to just encourage you, believers, that when we go north to go to teach, that you're behind us. Your prayers, your support, we appreciate very much. And that out of all of this, that God would get the glory. No man, but God would get the glory. Praise God. I thank him for that. When I first met Dave a few years ago, we had finished a conference in Grace Mennonite Church just up the road. And after the conference, it just seemed like I was lost. And I said, Lord, what do I do now? And I prayed. I didn't get an answer right away. And I prayed. I said, Lord God, I want to do something. I want to work for you. And he spoke to me in an audible voice. I don't know how many of you ever spoke or heard from God, but it's a beautiful. He said to go to the people in the north with a focus on Aboriginal people. I said, I don't want to go because those people are stubborn. They don't listen. I didn't ask you that. I asked you to go. Then I ran into Dave. I met him at his office, Tim Hortons. And we began this journey. He was telling me about Papua New Guinea, of how the people at one time didn't know the Lord Jesus. They were superstitious. They were believing all kinds of things. And that's what our people up north have been getting. They've been getting garbage, secondhand stuff. We have sat in a church where there was no hymn books. There was no Bibles. And everything was in Latin. We were lied to. We were cheated. But no more. That's what excites me about established and what God has put together. That our people, all people, will know God's word. They'll have the opportunity to study it. Just like you, everyone, you'll have the opportunity. I tell you, sometimes it's not easy because it's been bred into them. But no, God has his way. And we started this working together, Dave and I, and many others, Kevin now, Conrad, Craig. He's putting a team together to go. When God tells you to go, he gets you out of your comfort zone. One morning, I got off the plane at 1:30 from Ottawa. Dave picked me up. I got home about 2:30. We had work to do. I got up and left at 6:30 from Langham. Drove to Buffalo Narrows, minus 37. If God tells you to go, you go. You don't make excuses. Oh, well, it's too cold. You know what, folks? Do you ever get annoyed at somebody telling you the same thing every day or every other day? This week I've had the flu, but before that, when in Kamloops, that's where I've been the last few months. Oh, is it ever cold? You know, it's cold. You know, it's cold. And they would, if we talked as much about the weather as we do for Jesus, I'll tell you, you'll see a revival. Oh, it's cold. But I lived in the Arctic for 7 years, folks. We never talked about the weather because it was cold. God threw in 3 months of darkness. You want darkness? You got it. You want cold? You got it. I go to this one restaurant in Kamloops, and I kind of sneak in a chair because I like to read. I like to read the Word. And sitting a couple of tables away is a few people, usually men. Oh, isn't the weather horrible? Isn't the government doing a horrible job? You know those Indians, they get everything for nothing. All of a sudden, they see me sitting there. Oh, not quite. They just get a few things. Eh? So before I walk away, I say, God bless you. So I give them a name. Whenever I see them, I got this group. So I call them Citizens Against Virtually Everything. But God is good. It's nothing wrong with a little bit of humor once in a while. But I want to share with you some scripture from the, if you got your Bibles, it's 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 4 to 11. And this is, it's Samuel and Eli. And I'm just going to read it here. It says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he rose and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went to lay down. Now the Lord came and stood, called as other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered and said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." So here's God calling Samuel three times. Maybe we could say he had a hearing problem. I don't know, but I don't think so. God called you. He called Samuel. Same as he talked to me to go north. But sometimes, even though we hear from the Lord, we tend to put them off. I just shudder inside that when I stand before Jesus Christ, he will ask me, "Did you hear me when I asked you to go north to Buffalo Narrows and La Ronge and Pelican Narrows? Did you hear me? Did you do what I told you to do?" I don't want to say that I was busy. So I would say that Samuel had a personal encounter with God, hearing God's voice. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I just feel so... Does anybody have some water? So it's extremely important to know and to hear what God is telling you. For me, anyhow, I don't know about any other of you. That's new wine. No, just kidding. I was chuckling when Conrad was saying he worked the Mennonite people. This is probably about my sixth year I've been associated with Grace Mennonite Church and Osler and a couple others. It just kind of, they don't get under your skin, they just get into you, and you got to love them. I love you guys, no kidding, you know. They don't mind if I switch once in a while. I just want to mention my wife. We just got married in September, and she's a real encourager to me. She tells me when to change my shirt, when to make the bed, when to do the dishes. Some of you guys can know what that means, eh? The second one I want to talk about is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. Here's another one that was available and ready when God said, "Who shall I send?" He stands up and he says, "Send me." God didn't have to look around, and Isaiah said, "Send me." So when God calls you, go. Go. When I see this church and many others praying for what God is doing in the north amongst our people, you just begin to weep. Dave and I left the reserve in northern Saskatchewan, Dillon, and as we left that cold winter morning, I started to weep as I left because I seen the misery that Satan has inflicted on our people. Only God can do what he does, and only God can change. But we have to be available. We have to be like Isaiah. Send me. I'll go, Lord, because you want me to go, and I'll go. It's a privilege and an honor this morning to tell you about Jesus. I just have to think 40 some years ago when God healed me. I've never looked back. So I look ahead to seeing my Savior. Verses 8 says, "I heard a voice saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell the people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive." The question reveals to the prophet that there is no work, that there is work to be done for Jehovah, that needs an instrument for that work. It is implied that no angel of the whole host, no man of the whole nation offers to undertake the task. The prophet, with an appetite for work, volunteers before he knows what it is he accepts. So the question I have, I'm not being rude, is, are we available? Are we ready to go? Tomorrow morning as I go up for a week to LaLosh and Turner, God has made arrangements to deliver about 15,000 pounds of food to two communities, clothes, different things. I'm excited that God is the God who provides. And I could easily say, well, it's 30 minus 32. I just think I'm going to go with Dave to Tim Hortons and sit around and have a cup of tea. But I got to go because we got lots of work to do. After all, I'm only 76. That's nothing. It's just a letter. So the question I have for you, has God ever spoken to you? Through scripture, Through someone encouraging you? Next question I have, is God calling you out of your comfort zone? That's pretty hard for some of us to get out of that zone. Nice comfort place. And I'm not being negative, okay? Don't get me wrong here. Some of us deserve to be in a comfort zone. So the third thing I wanted to share is that the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. We need volunteers in the office here in Osler, even if it's just sorting, stapling, all sorts of things. We just need volunteers. We need more teachers to go north. It doesn't make a good story sometimes to go north to a reserve. It makes a good story when you go to Africa, somewhere, you come back and everybody wants to listen to your story. And I'm not being rude, but when we go to a reserve, I see what the government has done to our people. It's horrible. When they told us way back when the first treaty was signed, as long as the river flows and the grass grows and the sun shines, we'll look after you. That's a curse. We no longer look up to God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We look to the government for a handout. That's what my dad told me a long time ago. But praise God, today we thank you for supporting us as we travel. I'm not really with ethnos. I'm kind of a tag-along. But I do work with them. I'm not a lone ranger. I'm just his buddy, Tonto. Okay? But I love my brothers because God spoke to me to take the word of God to the people. I love you guys. I love our native people. And we can do so much by doing little things like helping in the office, but most of all is praying for what God has in store. There's one more thing I was going to say. I know sometimes you forget, right? You know, maybe not the young people, but us older guys. So I don't know what it is. I can't remember, so I'm not going to mention it because I don't know what I was going to say. So I thank God for today. I thank you for being back in Osler. It was nice to come home, and I pray that we plan on moving back to Saskatchewan, even though my wife really doesn't like the weather yet, but she's getting, what they call that, climatized or sensitized? Climatized. Anyways, good morning. God bless you. I love you guys. And just keep on working together for God. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Norman, and thank you, Conrad, as well. I guess I hope Revenue Canada doesn't charge me for these perks. I do get some perks here at the church. I get to meet some pretty amazing guys. And so over the past year and a half or so, I've been able to connect and meet with Norm and now Aurelia as well. And you know, Aurelia, I really get the fact that you don't like this cold weather. And so I think there's a bit of a prayer war going on there. And so we trust that God will work that out in their relationship as well. And so I can understand her wanting to be in the warm climate of Kamloops. And so you should have picked June or July to come up here instead of February. But But that's all right. So I've had the privilege of getting to know Norm over the course of time, and now with Conrad as well. And so I've just appreciated those relationships. And so it's been a real blessing. And so when you have the time and opportunity, even after the service this morning, if you have a few minutes, just talk to them. And apparently don't talk to Norm about the cold, though. There's other things to talk about, right? And that's what we learned this morning. And so you're absolutely right. The cold is going to be there regardless. But get to know them. Incredible people and incredible stories. So I enjoy sitting and listening to what God's doing in their lives and how he's using them. And so take that opportunity as well. Don't worry about the weather, but just see, check out what's going on in their lives. So take that opportunity. So Ethnos does have a table set up in the back. So take time to check it out, chat with the Ethnos staff. And if you want any more information or how you can get involved, there's always ways you can get involved by volunteering and by praying and financial support. The trips they're making up north do cost a lot of money, material costs money, and so there's a lot of different expenses that they're incurring as well. And so I don't believe Craig and Leilani are here this morning either, but you know, another great part of the team, and so as well as Brent and Jody. So incredible people. Not to leave out Dave and Judy, because Judy's my sister, so she's got to be pretty good, and as well as Kevin and Marty. So an incredible team that's working, serving here in Saskatchewan, and incredible opportunities as well. Let's just pray as we close the service this morning. Just a reminder too: don't forget if you haven't signed the forms in the back there, take that into consideration as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, what a privilege to hear from your word. And Father, we know and realize and recognize the harvest is huge. And Lord, that's a tough challenge when we pray, Lord, send out workers. Are we willing to submit, and are we willing to be humble enough to include us in that? Lord, send out workers into this great harvest, but does that mean me? Lord, I pray that as we read your word and get into your word and hear from you, that we would respond to you. Lord, if you're telling us to come alongside and support Ethnos in a way, then Lord, I pray that you would move us to do that. I pray that we would not sit idle, but we would respond. Or maybe there's other ways or opportunities that we can get involved in serving as well. But Lord, we know and realize and recognize that each one of us has a part in kingdom building. And so God, may you empower us, and you have empowered us through your Holy Spirit. You have equipped us. You've empowered us. And so we need not fear. We need not go without any power behind us, but we have all the power we need because God, the Holy Spirit, indwells us and empowers us. And so, God, with that, may you just give us that confidence to step out, not in our own faith, but in the faith knowing that you will work in and through us as you call us and lead us. So, Father, again, thank you. Thank you for this team that works with the churches and the churches up north. God, thank you for the hunger and the thirst for your word. And Father, as they eat up your word, and Lord, will they be that vessel to continue to make disciples and continue to teach your word in truth? And so, God, thank you for those opportunities. And we pray that you would just, with this team, that you would provide for them, that you would provide the energy and the strength and just the workers and the finances to be able to accomplish your work. Not man's work, but your work. In kingdom building, what a privilege that we as a church have as we support Ethnos, as we support this team. So God, thank you for that. Father, thank you for this day. And as we go from here, we pray for safety and all these things. And we thank you in Jesus' holy name. God bless you and enjoy your week.